Yeah, you know what daddy likes.
Yeah, I know the fuck is given the now.
I wanna watch you suck his dick!
On stage, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. I like reading Toilet of Hell blog, but since I, Frankie Palmieri, am mostly into old school power metal and epic pagan neo-folk, I feel as though my demographic is not being catered to. I am a big fat poo-poo butt face and my balls are shaped like eggs. If the yolks crack, I must unzip my flappy sack and cook them on a piping hot frying pan, then feed them to that guy Franz from Attila.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Hoo yeah. You know me. It's Joe Thrash and Kill. It's the Toilet of Hell radio show. With me, I've got the golden boy, won 365 days of horror, Jordan. Hey, Jordan.
Hi!
And also we got, Brindo Side!
Welcome home!
I can't hit those notes, man. You both have much better range there than I do.
Well, we had a lot of practice, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were surrounded by people doing that for a good, like, hour and a half. Oh.
I appreciate the commitment, even though that sounds incredibly annoying.
It's like, you can't be mad at those people, but you do want to turn around and say, don't. Please don't.
Right. It's like, I don't know why I blew out my voice trying to be loud enough. Like, I'm going to get King Diamond to hear me among 2,000 people.
It's going to pull you up on stage.
That guy knows my song.
I heard a singer from the crowd, and he is the best one. I am retiring.
You are now Prince Diamond.
the Duke Diamond.
The Duke of Diamond, yeah.
Cubic zirconia, lad.
So, you guys went and saw the King. How was it?
It kind of put me into an existential crisis. It was so good.
Really?
You ever go to one of those shows where you're just like, what am I doing with my life? I need to do more of this shit, you know?
Normally I have the opposite reaction. What am I doing with my life? Why am I here? I'm 32 years old. I need to get my shit together.
Exactly. It was the opposite of that. It was very, very good. Because, I don't know, I'm just like, man, I'm not a metalhead anymore. This shit sucks. I'm tired of it. All of it's bad. And then I see a show like that, and I'm like, I could be a metalhead.
Did it make you miss your glorious locks?
Oh, God. I had nothing to head. I had my fucking shitty little flap to headbang with now. Because I essentially what happened was I got the bro cut. And I didn't get a haircut again because I don't like getting haircuts, which is how it got long in the first place. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like I look like the bad guy from Fifth Element.
Zorg.
Yeah.
Jean-Emmanuel Zorg.
It's just hanging at my face.
Yeah, my hair is technically longer than yours, which is super weird to think about.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, it'll grow back. I think I'm just going to wait it out. Because what had happened is I assumed that I would just have my big queer eye level makeover, and everyone would think I was so much more handsome and so much better looking. But I've been, like, showing new people, hey, you know, this is what I used to look like with long hair. And they're like, shit, dude, you look fucking awesome. Like, out in the irony.
You look like shit great. Now, dude. What'd you do?
Yeah. Now you look like a loser. Can't win, man.
Nope. You fucked up. But it's okay. It's just hair. It grows back until it stops.
Yeah, I'm like the real story that should happen when you sell out. Things should get worse, not better.
Did you guys catch Idle Hands as the opener?
I caught them, like, the show was supposed to start at 7. I get to the venue at, like, 6:45, 6:50. And as I go through the doors, the venue has, like, TVs. And I see the band's already on, and they're playing the song I really like, Nightfall. It's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And rushed in and caught, you know, 90% of the set. But it was just like, you couldn't wait 10 minutes.
Yeah, they really fucked them over.
That shit sucks.
They were really good. Like, people should definitely see them live. And you know they're really good because they wore big dark sunglasses, which is very cool.
Big sunglasses, cool Ben.
I think the draw of Idle Hands is that they're like too cool to care. But when you see that on stage, you're like, wow, you guys don't really have a lot of, you know, emotion on stage.
I mean, their vocalist was Joey Ramone up there.
I know. He just did not give any shits, but he did like a good job.
Looking like a skeleton.
Yeah.
The kind of big jacket, the sunglasses, the hair in front of his face, not really doing all that much moving.
My buddy was watching the guitarist perform, and he's like really, really into guitar. And he had like this 9/11 is an inside job level thinking where he's like, it doesn't really look like what they're playing is in sync. I think that, you know, they're fucking Milli Vanilli-ing the guitars up there.
Oh, word.
I'm like, dude, I don't know. That's a pretty hot take. I think it's just the shitty Palladium sound, or potentially these guys are using some kind of
backing track.
Yeah. So,
well, based on the word of your unnamed buddy, I'm a truther now.
yeah. Idle Hands is fucking making it up.
I just think there is a disconnect between what you're seeing and the time it takes for the sound to like hit your ears, because it's a fairly decent sized venue. I just think it wasn't like mentally and audibly coming together for him.
I don't know.
I mean, I could. I'd much rather start drama and create a feud online. So I don't want to be robbed of that.
I'm with you 100%, Bruno. I think that until I see proof otherwise, Idle Hands are fakers.
What a band to fake too! It's like they just open with a 15-minute set. Doesn't really make sense.
They can't have a backing track because they spent all their money on their giant banner that they'll probably never be able to use again.
Oh, fuck. I don't know, man. They're new. They're happening. They got that King Diamond dap. Like, it's possible they could be
A big banner.
Well, you needed a big banner because they had to cover up King Diamond's fucking sanitarium he had there.
Yeah, that set's so badass.
It's a pretty tight set, yeah.
Who else did you see?
Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats, which
Okay, so I was at my friend's brewery, and his friend is like, I met this English guy on Tinder. Him and his friends are coming over, so like, be nice. Maybe we'll be don't throw a bunch of anti-English slurs around, is basically what she was telling me.
No limeys.
And the guy, he's like talking to me. He's like, yeah, I'm a big metalhead. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I know where this is going. I'm like, what do you like, man? He's like, Pantera. You know, that's pretty good. I'm like, oh, I liked Pantera a lot when I was a kid. He's like, do you like anything more recent? He's like, heaviest band in the world right now, Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. And I'm just like, God, Brittany, we have to leave.
It's time to go.
Oh, look at the time. They're a talented band. I will give them that. They can play their instruments.
Yeah.
They need a vocalist.
It is bad. Stoner rock. It is stoner rock sung by a very squeaky Englishman.
And people were losing their minds.
No.
There was one guy there. We have to tell you this. Joe, think of your wife, your family, your best friends, your pets, Bernie Sanders. Take all of your love for all those people and things, put them together. You do not love them as much as this guy loved Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats.
I'm pretty sure he left after their set was over.
He was good. He doesn't need to see King Diamond. He saw Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats.
He's all set. He's good to go.
This guy, like, we were right by a railing, and this guy shoved his way to the railing and was like doing the invisible oranges poses and like thrusting about and throwing his hands all over the place. And when they would finish a song, he would say, and I quote, I would kill for you.
I would kill for you. I love you. It was just like, man, you know, have a beer, relax.
That's incredible. Like, just having this slavish obsession for like a a Ford Focus.
Of all the bands to commit a felony for.
And we're talking like a 2007 Ford Focus. Not even like a new nice one with the air conditioner that works. You know, a little rust on the body.
It's a reliable vehicle.
Point A to like, point B.
It's not like this is Brazil and Iron Maiden is coming. It's like your first show ever. You'll see them again. They will play smaller venues. Very strange.
You know, we can't really understand how we form, you know, connections with bands. Sometimes we're just in a place and a band hits us where it just makes total sense. So I can't really, you know, talk shit on the guy. I can just say that it's very amusing to me that this guy's in the worst pit of his life and Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats is the thing that pulled him out.
Yeah, Uncle Acid saved my life.
just love Jefferson Starship with distortion.
Got his ass. That's incredible. And I guess the King, he acquitted himself notably.
He's so good. Like, we've said it before and I'll say it again. People need to go see him live. Even if you're not that big of a fan or you only know like Halloween, it's still so entertaining and the band is so good that it's worth it.
Yeah, when I saw him years back, I wasn't super familiar with his discography outside of a handful of tracks, and man, that made me a fan. Like the whole spectacle of the thing, the huge stage show, and the shredding fucking guitars, man. Like, you really can't beat it.
And there's a dancer, too.
You had a dancer? Oh, was it the old... the grandma?
Yeah, she plays grandma. If they play Puppet Master, she's like the puppet. And she's
Miriam.
Like, right. She gets on stage in a different costume and does dancing or, like, pantomiming stuff or, you know, gives birth to a baby and then throws it down the stairs.
Yeah, just throws it over the railing, right? I have some new Chinese phone, and I don't know how to silence it. Sorry.
You have a what?
I have, like, a Chinese phone, and I don't know how to silence it.
Like,
It's like I have no mouth, and I have to scream.
Did you, like, just buy a phone off Wish or something?
Essentially. So, I mean, there's a lot of, like, flagship phones out there that are just made direct from Chinese companies, because you might as fucking well. You know, the iPhone's built in China.
Yeah, it all comes from the same slave labor factory.
Correct. So, I figure you might as well, you know, if you're the boss of said slave labor factory, you might as well just kind of get in the business of your own. So, there's a lot of, like, pretty good Chinese phones you can get. And this one is very good for the price. It was $200 brand new, and it's got a sweet processor, but I cannot for life of me get this thing to fucking turn off, so I apologize for all the beeping and booping you guys hear.
Can you read kanji?
Kanji? Is that what they call it?
I thought that was what the characters were called.
I thought that was specific to Japan.
Oh, it could be, and I'm just incredibly stupid.
Nah, you're just incredibly white.
It can be both.
usually is.
But like, is the menu in like Chinese?
No. It's just a new phone, and I'm thinking of the wrong things to complain about.
Well, you know how they say your phones are spying on you. That phone is definitely spying on you.
Right. Yeah, it's like, I can't figure out the menus because it's a new phone and I just got it, but I'm over here like, damn Chinese.
Yeah. Your phone's spying on you. It's just that your particular phone is reporting on you to a different government. It's probably fine.
Yeah. So if my buddy texts throughout the show, I apologize. I'm throwing it in the drawer. I'm going to throw it in the drawer here. But yeah, Uncle Acid was okay. King Diamond was real good. And I thought Idle Hands was pretty good, too. It was overall a pretty good show. And, dude, it was out very early for a show.
10:30.
Ooh-wee. That's the good stuff.
Yeah, man.
No one really harshed us all that much, although after Idle Hands set finished, where we were standing, there were people in front of us. There wasn't a lot of daylight. People managed to, like, squeeze in between us and the people in front of us. And I'm just like, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And by the time I came back, they left. But it was, like, the fucking gall of people just to squeeze in when there's still room in the venue to go anywhere.
I hate that shit, man. Course, like, I don't know, I'm an average height dude. It's whatever, I can probably see fine at shows. Just, I don't want people touching me.
Yeah, give me some room.
Also, there's nobody that I have to be, like, right up front for. I've seen all the bands that I needed to see dead up front, and I'm old, and I can just hang out in the back of the venue with my arms crossed with all the other old shitheads. I've earned that.
We were in the back of the venue. That's the thing.
Ugh. Yeah. We paid for back of the venue old guy tickets. They were specifically assigned for guys like us. I was like, great, I will save the $40. Give me the regular guy ticket. I don't need to look King Diamond in the crotch. I really don't. I can see him great from where I was standing.
I could see everyone's camera phone go up as soon as he gets on stage. I'm good.
Mine too, dude. It's how it is. I gotta let Instagram know I'm cooler than them. That's important to me.
It's important. It for the gram.
That's right.
I missed out on High on Fire and Power Trip this week to instead do school slash other, like, I listened to a Q&A with three guys that used to be on death row and were freed, which was a very inspiring and infuriating thing. I'm glad that I went, but man, I'm kind of bummed out. Ooh, that I missed out on Power Trip.
Who cares? Who cares? You just saw Power Trip.
Well, now you could just sit at home and watch football all day.
I mean, I'm gonna. Aside from the second show I gotta do.
This guy crying about, you know, how many years he's given to the state wrongly, and you're just like, I could have been a Power Trip club.
You're the real victim.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So who's your football pick of the week? Who's a lock?
You know, I haven't...
Jets, Giants?
I haven't even previewed the games this week, because the only game I'm dead set going to watch is, of course, the Cowboys in Minnesota, because I'm a shitty Texan.
Well, that should be a good game.
But I should let everybody know that I lost a bundle by betting on the Jets versus the Dolphins last week.
You win everyone.
Now, when you bet on just sports teams in general, how do you usually bet? Do you go for who you think is most likely to win, or the one you like too much?
I always bet on the Cowboys because I'm a stupid fucking homer, and they're not even good.
They haven't been good, right?
So that's how I generally lose. But aside from that, I look for the weakest teams on the matchups for the week, and I bet against them. And normally it works out pretty good. Like, today Kansas City is playing the Titans, and that's going to be a fucking bloodbath.
I bet on the teams who have the prettiest jerseys.
That works pretty good. Who do you think has the prettiest jersey? Just bet on Cincinnati every week.
I like the purples in the teams. I like the Vikings. Mm-hmm. They got purples. Yeah, they got Ravens.
They still do purples. They're purple. Yep. Yeah. Mm. To a lesser extent, more of a turquoise. You have Carolina.
They're like historically bad this year.
Fucking dog shit.
Nothing's gonna beat the old blue, silver, and red of my boy the Pats. They're doing so good all the time.
The Buccaneers creamsicle jerseys.
God, the worst, by far worse than all of football.
Seahawks are pretty bad too.
Yeah, but your Pats, they got upset last week.
Yeah, I know, but I'm never upset if they lose, because that means every asshole around me is mad, and I'm tickled pink because I live in the bubble, you know. The assholes around me, if something hurts them, that's all right by me.
I mean, I don't live in like Dallas or nothing, so for the most part, Austin isn't a football town aside from UT, and UT's been dog shit for many years, so it doesn't matter. None of this affects the people around me. I'm the one that's sullen while trying to get some donkeys.
Yeah. When I was younger, what I would do is I would bet on the team that I didn't want to win. That way, I never really lost.
Yeah, because it's a pleasant surprise.
Right, right. If the team that I liked loses, then I got a little scratch.
Yeah.
And if the team that I wanted to win wins, it's essentially like I'm just paying cash money to the universe to get my team to win.
Yeah, that's healthy. I like that.
Yeah.
Join us next week for more betting strategies from a team of certified geniuses.
Diamond Joe's lock of the week.
It's my shoe-in of the week.
It's a pretty big shoe.
Yep.
We're just gonna tell all the toilets here, stick to sports.
We haven't talked about this because it has no bearing whatsoever on anything that we do. But holy shit, I'm still mad about Deadspin.
Well, I mean, it's it's journalism. It's got to be falling somewhere in that vein of the writing that we do, which is totally real journalism.
I mean, straight up, in starting Toil of Hell, like, one of my biggest inspirations was Deadspin, because of, like, how they would pretty much do whatever they wanted, and the comment section would be game for it. They would just be trying to one-up each other with jokes, and I thought that was the best kind of community to have, you know? And now all of that's gone, like tears in the rain. Well, time to die.
Time to die. But what we can do is we can stick to metal news, which is what we do best.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We're really good at that. We're fucking... I listened to that last episode, and I was like fucking Italian chef kiss. Mwah! It's fucking... We're amazing at keeping up with current stuff.
Another thing that we're good at is having Jordan make predictions that come true. we got some word just like yesterday the drum that Jordan has been hammering on for months and months and months, he was right. We're gonna go ahead and give him a round of golf claps for being right.
Thank you.
In that Slayer, here coming up on the end of their final tour, no fooling, ever.
Definitely last tour ever.
They're not done.
Told you.
Called it.
So, Slayer's manager, the guy that presumably gets a paycheck from the band continuing, has said that, you know what, after this tour, maybe we aren't actually done.
Oh, we didn't mean... You guys didn't think we meant final, like, really final, did you?
Yeah, so you said that... we just said that this was going to be their final tour, not that they would stop playing.
Of course there's an out. Like, there always was an out for them to keep on either playing individual shows or big festivals or go on like mini tours or just do a tour of the West Coast or the East Coast. Yeah, they might not play Abu Dhabi anymore, but they're still going to play.
They're huge in Abu Dhabi.
One thing
when you mentioned Slayer manager, all I can think of is Gwar's sleazy P. Martini, but like the real life version.
So you don't have
as
it
being the manager of Slayer.
You don't have it entirely wrong. Slayer's manager is named Rick Sales.
Rick Cashmaker.
It's like when he put in the resume to do it, they were like, "We gotta bring this guy in." Last name like Sales, he was set for life in that regard.
Yeah, the guy, Tito's Vodka, the guy that owns Tito's Vodka, his name is
Tito
Beverage.
It's like Bob Rock. He was born to make garbage.
Exactly. God damn it.
I do think that we had like a podiatrist billboard somewhere in Springfield where the guy's name literally was like Dr. Foot or something, or Dr. Toe. Many an Instagram in the Springfield area was happy to play with that. But.
Shit, what was the an ancient image macro? It was a proctologist named like Dr. Pounder.
Well, the thing that tipped me off to Slayer still doing shit is Kerry King just changed his guitar endorsement.
Oh, word.
The beginning of November. He's been with BC Rich for fucking ever. We're talking decades at this point. And just recently, he switched over to Dean Guitars, where they made him this disgusting monstrosity of a guitar. Within tradition.
I got to see this terrible guitar.
So just all right angled.
It's pretty reminiscent of his BC Rich, but I don't think Dean's ever... It's the Dean headstock, but then they just curled the stupid V into some horns.
Just shoots Jägermeister out of the head onto the crowd.
Yeah, just shoots Jägermeister right from the nut into Kerry King's mouth while he's playing.
This is Walmart first act looking ass guitar.
It always is, isn't it?
Yeah. Shit sucks. I wonder what kind of deal they offered, or if maybe BC Rich was just like, we're done with you.
Yeah, I mean, I know BC Rich just announced a new line for him last year, maybe? Right. As they were, but they've changed management like five times over the last several months, so I don't know. Something probably fell through. But it's not, I know, not to drag everybody back into gear talk, but I'm just like, this is a guy who's not supposed to be playing metal music anymore, and he's fucking re-upping in a new endorsement with a different company.
Well, congratulations to Carrie for keeping the grift going.
And his agent, Scott Boris, for making it happen.
Also, congratulations to the graphic artist over at Dean, who slim-lined our boy Carrie here, so he's looking real sleek in this like promotional photo for Dean.
They easily shaved 45 pounds off of him.
Is his face looking all like fuzzy and clear, like one of those Instagram filters that make him look young and supple?
These lines around his head are very sharp.
They're just artifacting around his head.
You can see that the pentagram in the background kind of bows out a little bit. So yeah, after they finish this tour, I imagine that they're going to take a break for 7 weeks and get back on the road.
They just put out that stupid movie too. They're not done. They're not going away.
Yeah. So is the movie out already?
I think it was in theaters for like one of those Fathom Event one night only deals.
Yeah, it's like a special showing, Repentless Killogy.
Like, you know, they do this. They screen it in a theater so it can be eligible for Oscar voting.
And I think it's just like a 15-minute short and then a concert.
That sounds really totally unnecessary.
Why?
Like most of Slayer's output.
Yeah.
Got him.
When the fuck is Veronica coming out? Because I thought Danzig's movie was supposed to be out by Halloween, and it's definitely not out.
I heard they were doing like some more showings, but I never heard anything else past that. I would love to see that.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen it.
I haven't heard of this at all.
Veronica?
Yeah, totally clueless on this.
So the early word on this, Danzig's magnum opus film, it's a erotic horror movie, as you can tell by the name. People were like laughing their asses off at screenings, and he's getting a little miffed, like that scene in Hot Rod.
As he wants to do, yeah.
Yeah, he said, you guys laughed at some spots that, like, I didn't think you would, but that's cool. And apparently, like, some of it's out of focus, the movie, and lines are delivered really awkwardly. So it sounds like it's really bad. So that means we have to watch and review
it. It's Danzig's The Room. You know?
Yeah, if you told me that Danzig and the guy who directed The Room were brothers, I'd probably believe you.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah. Tommy Wiseau, yeah, I forgot his name there for a second.
Nobody knows Tommy Wiseau's backstory. It's entirely possible. I saw him at the Alamo Drafthouse, because he does, like, his entire life now is just doing events for The Room at various drafthouse and signing things. My man looks like a fucking crypt keeper. He's like ancient, dude.
I mean, he wasn't young when the movie came out, regardless of the fact that he put himself in as the star handsome role.
Still keeps
part
it
of
trim,
its charm.
Still keeps it tight.
Yeah. Great.
He's on the Peter Thiel blood-sucking diet.
If that's what he's doing, I thought that he would look a little, have like a youthful glow or something like that.
Well, he's over 1,000 years old, so it takes, you know, time does make him look corpsey.
I love that there are certain things you can do as you age, you know, like you can go all in and you can wear white New Balance and a tucked in polo and just accept that you're, you know, older and shittier. You can be a guy that like wears suits all the time because you're old and you want to cover up your gut. Or you can do the Tommy Wiseau, Johnny Depp thing where you just keep adding accessories to your outfit, and so you're just like a big scarecrow of bracelets and necklaces. Choose your path, man. That's what's in front of you.
Or you could be emo dad.
Emo dad might have been Tommy Wiseau.
Emo Dad must be so psyched for My Chemical Romance coming back.
Oh my god.
I feel like I'm Emo Dad. I might catch him in town. Who knows?
You might catch My Chemical Romance.
Sure. Why not? The thing is, like, it's not going to be a bunch of screaming teenage girls over there. It's going to be a bunch of screaming, you know, girls that were teenage girls when I was a teenage boy. So
screaming moms.
Going to be interesting. Yeah, they're going to be like throwing their baby down the stairs to go run into My Chemical Romance.
I saw My Chemical Romance at the Warped Tour in like 2004 or so. And it was insane. Not the, like, the band was like insane, just the crowd reaction. Like, a couple of kids got trampled. Like, people were losing their fucking minds. I didn't get it. Never been like really my thing, but man, the people are insane about that band.
I would kill for you.
I would kill that one guy. He just goes to every show from here on out.
I remember that their vocalist went on stage shirtless, wearing a bulletproof vest. I was like, this is a bit much.
Was he body count?
Exactly.
Probably needs it. Some crazy stalker's probably threatening to assassinate him in his DMs every other day. It's like, if you won't love me, no one will.
It's like some Disturbed fan reading what is the equivalent of The Catcher in the Rye for the MySpace generation.
Yeah.
Twilight. This book told me to kill you.
I want you to eat my baby out of me.
Ew.
It's a guy like me.
Yes. That's the thing. The biggest reaction to this was like a bunch of ladies that I know that were seen back in the day are like, hey, I can't wait to see this. And a bunch of dudes like, I would fucking cut my eyes out for a chance to hear this one more time.
I feel like everybody had a lady in their life that ran in and was like, I need to tell you about the page I just fucking read when that Twilight book came out.
I didn't have that. I feel like I got lucky.
Probably. I mean, I'm talking like a friend's sister at the time. I was still very much a loser like I am now, just, you know, a lonelier one.
The big thing I remember from Twilight was that it made church ladies super horny. Like, that was the reaction from it.
And then that's how we got 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, because that was like a fanfic based on Twilight, right?
Same, yeah, church ladies. Just changed the names around.
That is
incredible. Same church ladies, even hornier.
Yeah. No, that was a big thing within the church ladies community that I was still friends on Facebook with. It was like, a lot of you can get out there and claim to be Christian, but if you're reading 50 Shades of Grey, I think you need to get right with the Lord. And people were like, oh!
Oh, got him.
Yeah. I'm so glad I don't have any of these people in my life anymore.
Yeah, talk about the strong hand of judgment. Facebook, got him, killed him, assassinated.
Sorry, go ahead, Breno.
I was just going to say, I think we can move on.
I was going to say that Jordan dug something up for us this week that I had a pretty hearty chuckle at. Gave me a fair bit of mirth. In that Frankie Palmieri, I guess, started like sliding in the DMs.
Speaking of getting right with the Lord.
So Frankie Palmieri from Emir, of Emir fame, it looked like he was either mass messaging or just randomly messaging fans that followed his Instagram page. And he would just start off with his little Goku face that he had custom made for himself there. And he would just ask them, hey there, got a second? And I imagine if you're an Emir fan and this guy is just reaching out to you in such a personal way, I don't know, might, you know, put your bullshit meter up.
Yeah, right? Or like you're really excited, like, hey, the guy from that band that I really liked in 2008 is hitting me up.
Yeah, maybe he's lonely. Maybe he thinks I'm cute. I don't know. So if you respond in any way, he then sends you the following, which I can't imagine is a prepared, you know, message. I'm sure he didn't copy and paste this into your DM. I'm sure he wrote this out for you. But if he says, hey there, got a second, and you say, oh, fuck, sure, Frankie, what's up? He goes, thanks. So I'm reaching out to people.
Wait, this is your Frankie Palmieri voice?
I mean, God, what I don't even know what the guy sounds like. Thanks. So I'm reaching out to people, hopefully true fans, asking if they would be able to make a $100 donation to the Emir cult. But it's not just a $100 donation via PayPal. It also signs you up to our exclusive email list and gives donation members, access to free VIP and guest list spots at future shows, plus exclusive merch items both at our shows and online. Current industry climate is pretty rough, so we want to give the fans a chance to be invested in what we do while supporting us. These spots are limited, so let me know if you're interested and I'll supply the necessary info.
The thing I've heard from women that use Tinder is that a huge part of their experience is just dudes that blanket DM like every single woman that they connect with the same copy pasta, like, hey, would you mind, shitting on me? And I think that when you do that kind of thing, you're playing with the law of numbers. Like, if I send out 10,000 of these, one of them has to bite. Do you think anybody bit? And they were like, yeah, Frankie, I'll give you $100 via PayPal.
Probably.
Yeah, the sad thing is probably.
I mean, they are Amir fans. So
yeah, Amir fans would pay a third of that for a windbreaker, so I'm not, not too worried about Frankie at least getting some scratch out of this stupid scheme.
I just assume that at least a quarter of everybody that follows Frankie does it for the irony, but maybe that's just my poison brain.
Apparently, this was pointed out on Lambgoat that he was requesting funds for his own personal PayPal account and not like a band's official account. So that's fun.
He's like lost his entire band a couple of times, right?
A couple of times. I think it's still the same one or the same people that have been around for a little while that used to be in the band Glass Cloud.
Yeah, things have settled down for old Frankie. Yeah.
Well, it's good that he's finding some stability as he ages. Do you think that was an awkward conversation with the other band members, like, or do you think that they knew what was going on?
I think that because it wasn't put out in a public way, like on their Facebook page or on like the band's Twitter or Instagram, that they might not have known about this. Because wouldn't you think doing this in a broad and open way would net you far more people than sliding into DMs?
I don't know, because there is the approach where I get 10,000 text messages a day asking from Bernie asking me for money, and I'm going broke just giving him money every single time.
Because you think it's him, and you think he likes you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like people getting really psyched about Bernie's tweets, being like, oh, he said this. Like he's hunched over a laptop in like some closet space, banging out awesome owns against billionaires.
I would love to watch him try to type.
He's hunting peck, no question.
Absolutely. My man has never had a job that required him to be in front of a computer, so.
No, I'm sure not. But my strategy here, if I got these DMs from Frankie, if he sent me all this stuff, the next thing out of my mouth would be like, I will give you $100 right now to just write something that you didn't copy and paste, and I'd probably get static silence.
Show me your dick, Frankie. $100 right now.
Show me the Hulk.
Yeah. I'll sell it to Metal Sucks at a premium.
It's more of a piglet than a hug.
Oh.
So he did, after this came out, he went onto Twitter and announced that in order to avoid, quote, negativity associated with the long-term fan club subscription, he's refunded all donations.
Oh, what a mensch. That had to be the rest of the band being like, yeah, fuck you.
band management label.
So he lost, he had to give back $200 is what I'm hearing.
I mean,
well, doesn't PayPal take out a chunk? You might have had to actually give back more in the refund.
That's true. I don't know. You know how many animes you can buy with $200?
Two.
One computer that you can log on and just watch it all for free, like everybody.
he strikes me as the collector type.
It's yeah, like the little underage girl figures.
Well, I was thinking like a horror fans where they show you their collection and it's just an entire basement, like wall to wall VHSs and DVDs and Blu-rays. That's him, but for anime.
Fuck,
we should have liked to see my Gunplas.
We should have brought that up with Robin when she was on that episode a couple of weeks ago. She has that basement. It's just floor to ceiling with all of that shit. We should have brought up like how do you plan on burdening your family with this?
They're just gonna move the pods thing right up to the garage and just dump it all in.
We love you, Robin, but collections are sick.
Yeah, I've never been a collector my whole life. I probably either throw out or sell stuff after I'm done dealing with it. It's letting it sit in a pile until it becomes like a monolith that I dedicate to my fandom. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I have a shelf with vinyl, and if I want to like add something to it, I have to sell something first to like not be that guy just surrounded by all the shit that I bought.
Of course, I say this as I'm sitting next to piles of thousands of dollars of guitar gear. Just,
well, that's an investment, really.
Yeah, right. I'm an artist. These are my tools, guys.
What do you have burdening your life, Jordan?
Comic books.
Yep. Everybody's got something.
CDs, although not nearly as much as some other people. People are like, I have 2,000 CDs. And it's like, I have like two boxes, small boxes. What's wrong with you? And then they never listen to them. They're just all digital now.
Yeah, I listen to it on Spotify.
I just can't imagine like swishing a wine glass in like my big velvet chair in front of just walls and walls of CDs, and then just like walking up to one that I find very easily because they're all in alphabetical order, and just taking it out in pristine condition, and then, you know, looking to my left and right and going, oh wait, there are no CD players anymore.
Looking at your Funko Pop collection and swirling your brandy.
Yes.
Those things fucking creep me out, man. So yeah, Frankie, sliding in the DMs probably works a little bit. Just, I guess you got to figure it out with the rest of the band if you're going to be grifting on it. I think where he messed up was making it a thing about the band instead of just himself. Like, give me $100 and I'll add you to my personal email list, and I'll record a voicemail greeting or something like that for you.
All Frankie has to do is get some shitty camera on himself every other week, upload it to YouTube, and then he's got all the reasons in the world to put up a Patreon, and people will just throw money at him. Just
for
do like
$50,
a vlog. Yeah.
You get deep thoughts with Frankie Palmieri.
Legit one of the stupidest people in music. There is just nothing going on upstairs. Aside from, I guess, a deep knowledge of the incredibly complex Street Fighter lore.
I like how Attila like outdumbed him and is far, far more popular.
That was unexpected.
I don't know how that happened.
Kids just love to say suck my fuck.
It's true. They do. We all remember when Donnie Darko came out and the kids were yelling that.
You mean the kids aren't into the, you know, you make me want to anymore?
I don't know what the kids are up to, because the kids that this was appealing to are now in their mid-20s. And I assume that they're thinking about things like, how can I don't know, afford rent, or I need insurance. So I don't know. It seems like this market, this lucrative teen market, is kind of out.
Yeah.
People got to stick with the... I assume people stick with them, though. Everybody has fans that hang around, even though the output sucks, like the people listening to this show.
No. There is a lucrative market out there, though. You could try selling 650 pounds of marijuana like the drummer from Walls of Jericho.
Okay. 650 pounds is... Weed doesn't weigh very much.
There's a picture of it up on Lamgo, and I think the PRP and a couple other places. It looks like giant bales of hay wrapped in garbage bags. I mean, these things are huge.
Yeah, man. That's so much weed. if you wanted to like traffic something else, like I think cocaine is more dense, you probably have a much smaller package. Probably more lucrative too.
He was going the Nate Newton route.
Fuck, deep cut.
Deep cut. Deep sports cuts today.
Who's still dealing weed, man? Like, that's just weird to me. I mean, I guess if you don't all collectively, all everybody living and speaking on this podcast live in Massachusetts, maybe it makes a little more sense. But
I know a couple of people that deal some weed, but it's I think like it's a pretty fucking red letter day if they were to get, say, a whole pound. That's like shit that you rarely ever come by, much less 650 of them. So this is like a major trafficking thing. Like where was he dealing to?
Well, I assume this is trafficking and not dealing. But Klamath County, Oregon.
Isn't weed legal in Oregon?
Yeah, but you can't have 650 pounds of it. I don't think you can carry more than an ounce. Which is a little, 650 pounds is, you know, a little more than an ounce.
I don't know the metric system. So that's still wild to me, though, if you're like, because I've seen somebody in the Street Fight group had posted, like, I feel like they had circular coupons for, like, the weed store, and the weed seemed pretty cheap in Oregon. So I don't know. That's wild to me. I guess they were taking advantage of the legal status in that state to try to ship it out of state.
I don't know. The police say that he had no local connections to the area.
Is Walls of Jericho still a band?
Yes, they are.
Wow. Okay. Man, I'm
because they're not paying the bills.
Well, yeah, of course not. Nothing that you do as a band could ever make you as much money as trafficking 650 pounds of drugs.
And I think they're on Victory Records, so that makes even more sense now.
Yeah.
Even if gotta make your money somewhere.
Yeah. Tony Victory took it all.
Oh, no, I tell a lie. They're on Napalm.
Oh.
Or at least we're on Napalm and Trustkill and Eulogy.
Interesting. Trustkill still a label?
Yeah, they died like 10 years ago at least. Yeah. And I think, you know, died owing lots of bands money.
Yeah, that checks out.
Is this you said this was they're on Napalm or?
I think they were most recently on Napalm Records.
Napalm's coming up and getting some good acts on there. Used to be you had to dress like some weird forest elf in order to play music on Napalm Records.
Yeah, they were heavily folk metal, troll metal, pirate metal, and then they've like branched out into getting all sorts of different bands, like, you know, Monster Magnets on Napalm. I think American Head Charge was on Napalm until their vocalist was arrested stealing guitars from Guitar Center.
Keep it classy.
Nails is on Napalm, or at least they were. I have no idea if that's still a band or what.
I thought they were Nuclear Blast.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Easy to mix up because, you know, name your
the N.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think fireballs and exploding. I can see it.
I ordered, I got in the mail yesterday a full kilo of Kratom. It's a big ass package, man. A kilo? That's the good stuff. How many kilos is in 650 pounds? Can we do that math?
Nope.
It's like, I'm gonna say it's about 307 kilos. That's right, right?
Sure. 650 pounds in kilos. Hold on. It's 294 kilograms.
I was pretty fucking close.
Not bad, not bad.
That's good stuff. Good hustle. Shame about getting busted.
Yeah.
So I assume that's like real ass jail time, like federal stuff.
Yeah. That's federal pound you in you know what prison.
Yeah.
$45,000 bail.
Whew. I think with bail, like, you have to pay 10%, so like $4,500 is nothing to sneeze at.
Damn.
Well, he's gonna be sliding into people's DMs asking for donations.
I would just stay in jail at that point. I wouldn't even get bail.
At least they feed you.
That's true.
True.
If anybody is a Walls of Jericho super fan, you might have a chance to join.
It probably doesn't take that much to become their drummer.
Wasn't the vocalist of Rotting Out, he was busted with like a van full of weed, which was funny.
He was arrested for trafficking.
Yeah. But he's out of prison now, and I'm gonna say that wasn't but like 4 or 5 years that he was in, maybe less than that. So I don't know. Could be, depending on priors and shit, like could be okay. You know, going to prison is on the scale of things that you want to do pretty low, I think. But
yeah, that's down there.
Yeah.
But you know,
I mean, you could be listening to a podcast about him in a couple of years too.
I'm looking forward to that. I read an interview with the Rotting Out guy. It seems like he's doing well now, which is good. Because I didn't think that guy was ever going to get out.
Well, wasn't he like not a U.S. citizen or something like that? I think there was an issue with visas that they were concerned about.
Yeah, he was from Mexico, I believe, and I don't think that he had his full citizenship. So that especially, like, given the political climate, like, oh, they're just going to throw you in a cage for the rest of your life. So good on him for being able to get out. That was a sweet band. Shame they're not around anymore. What else have you fellas seen going on?
Do you know that Kirk Weinstein is putting out his own music now? Outside of Crowbar?
Yeah, he has a solo album. They just put out a song this week, and guess what it sounds like?
Like that?
Yeah, it sounds like a Crowbar. Which is, it's cool. I mean, that's fine with me. I'd like to ask him why now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Just got all these thoughts that I couldn't get out in my main band. I had to.
Maybe it's a contract thing. Maybe he's doing stuff the other band doesn't want to, or they're kind of busy and he just wants to put out music. It's just interesting because Crowbar's been around for so long, and he is Crowbar. Kind of like, why do something under your own name? Same like Jamie Josta. Just like your hate breed. Why put out a Josta album?
He's like
what,
the guy.
What difference does it make?
Not to mention knowing all about Crowbar and how tough Crowbar is and how tough Kirk looks. It's kind of something to just put like Kirk Weinstein on an album and like have it be a metal title.
It's a shame, you know. Hoping that maybe he was putting out a spoken word record or maybe an outlaw country record. Instead, it's just more sounds like a fat guy struggling to take a shit.
I used to do a lot of coke. Now I don't.
did you want like the Kirk Weinstein like diss tracks? Throwing it down against I Hate God and
Shout Down out.
And all the other Louisiana sound bands.
Shout out to Villain Zomo, you're a fucking asshole.
You owe me $20.
You owe me $25.
First of all, fuck your crew and the clique you claim. I would have loved that. I think that'd be really great. Or like for some reason he just puts out a hardcore techno album because that's the thing that he really likes listening to in the van. I don't know.
He's the new Skrillex.
Yeah, or it just features Skrillex in a track.
I would like to hear that. I would absolutely like to hear Skrillex x Crowbar.
Kirk Weinstein and the Chainsmokers.
I would less like to hear that.
Jay, you'll never let me go. Welcome to the new day. To the new day.
Fucking Chainsmokers, they're headlining the big arena in town. It's like sold out. It's like, who are you people?
Boop, it's boop, boop, it's, boop. It's the people who never go to shows. This is their one show a year where they get a sitter, they rent a limo, they Airbnb a place to stay, even though they live 15 minutes away, because this is their one big thing a year. This is date night.
My shitty old boss told me that her MBA class for like their final party, they got the Chainsmokers to play a private event for them, which says all you need to know about MBAs.
That must have cost them a lot of money.
The MBA is a great way to spend $100,000 to network with other shitheads.
Get the Chainsmokers to play when they fire everyone.
Yeah, so that's just, I don't know. I think it's maybe a little disappointing when you have a legacy metal dude who decides to venture out under his own name and he is exactly what you thought he was. There's nothing deeper going on.
I guess for the fans of the band, they're happy with it, and that's all that matters.
I guess.
At this point in his career, they're not making new fans, really. Or like the goal isn't to become big, it's just... I got a riff in my head, and I got some time. Why not make a couple bucks off it?
Fair. Can't knock the hustle. Closing thoughts on this episode. What do you got for me, Breno?
It's all about making that scratch, man. It's all about your payday. You know, can't judge a man for trying to keep his bank accounts in the black. You know, metal or not. So. That's how true. It seems to be these days, what with everybody. But I think Kirk Weinstein will keep it real, and I'm looking forward to what he has to offer, and hopefully I'll catch him on a tour somewhere. Slayer, I'm sure I'll catch them next time they do their final tour as well.
Mm-hmm. All these bands should just probably skip the middleman and slide directly into the DMs to ask for money.
Are you a true Kirk Weinstein fan?
I bet that there are a few people like, yes, I am. I am also a fat, bald man.
Kirk Weinstein just DMs Phil and says, you still owe me $25. Donate it to the crowbar cult, please.
Closing thoughts on this one, Jordan.
King Diamond, good. Mm-hmm. Idle Hands, good. Mm-hmm. Wanting to kill someone for Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. Bad. Trying to sell 650 pounds of marijuana. Bad. Frankie. Bad. Slayer. Trying to get out of saying it's their final tour. Bad. Kirk Weinstein. Good.
All right. That's pretty succinct. For what it's worth, I think more bands should probably just ask for money. Why even bother with all the rigmarole of recording a record that people may or may not listen to? It's like, hey, I recorded that one thing that you really liked years back. How about sliding some dough my way? I don't think it's a bad strategy. I just think it was done by the dumbest man on earth.
Yeah, I mean, normally you just do a VIP package and meet and greet for your show like they did with King Diamond for like $500 that sold out.
Whew. Now that's good grifting. Well, keep on grifting, everybody. Let us know what works.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.